From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, part of the 24/7 Sports Network. And together we make the Podcast of Champions. 17-1 champions, baby. The Big Ten in week one. One missed field goal away from a perfect opening weekend. But we got week two coming up. And of course, we got to talk about all the action. There's one massive, massive game. We have the first conference game. Get into the meat of this college football season. Maybe not quite as meaty as we'd like, but there's one really, 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 really meaty game we're going to get to. 15 games we're going to preview today. We've been doing two shows a week, and we're going to try to do two shows a week.
Would you describe it as meaty, or would you describe it as girthy?
I don't know if it's girth. I don't think it has the sustainability for girthness. I don't think it
It doesn't have the width and the breadth?
Yeah, there's... It's
when we say meaty, we mean dense. Like, we don't necessarily mean it expands through a bigger volume. We mean it's heavier.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, we have a very heavy, heavy game. The game of the week in college football is a Big Ten game. Mm. And all these games, there's some good ones. All of them played in Big Ten stadiums. There's a lot of home games for our beloved conference. We really love when you guys send us emails. So we got a few to get to today since we just did a show a few days ago. So keep sending them in. Big10cast@gmail.com. Or if you would rather call, we want to hear from you. Or send us a text. You can do that too. 424-532-0678. Twitter is B1GPodcast. And then you can go to the Apple Podcasting app or Spotify and leave us a 5-star rating. And if you have Apple, you could leave us a review. The shtick that we had before was people would leave very funny insults about how terrible we are at our jobs, but also leave us a 5-star review, and we will read anything that has 5 stars. So have fun, say mean things about us, but leave a 5-star review, and we will definitely read it and make fun of ourselves. We can be very self-deprecating here on the POC.
Allegedly, we have 2 new reviews, but they are not showing up at the top. Sometimes Apple then puts them at the bottom for some reason, but I don't see them there either. So those will probably trickle out of this meaty show at some point in the future.
Okay. I asked you before, Apple screws this stuff up all the time. Like, I don't usually want to look at my phone to see the reviews, but that's where you do, right? There's a website I would go to, and they would always like, I could read the reviews. And then Apple changes it, and you can't read the reviews anymore. So
yeah, you can.
Send me a link of where you can read them, because I have not been able to do it. So
okay. I'm going to do that right now.
Colt said, we're live on YouTube, by the way. Dave doesn't like to call it a simulcast, but if you put comments in there, I will be able to put them
up. The reason I don't like to call it a simulcast, just so everyone knows, is that it's not actually a simulcast.
Certainly is, but that's fine.
No, we are only broadcasting live one medium. Mm. So I guess in the sense that you and I are in the same room and we are both talking, it's a simulcast of the two of us.
Sure.
But no, it's not as if we're on terrestrial radio and the TV at the same time.
But we're recording for the podcast that will be up momentarily. It's just not live on the podcast. Do I have to make the podcast live somehow? And then
yes, make it audio live, and then I will allow you to call it a simulcast.
Okay. As you are coming to the studio that I pay for and we do all our stuff here.
Look, just because quote, own this studio that I invested so much money in doesn't mean that you get to own the English language and decide what words mean.
Okay. Colt says, what's with the polo, Dave? No Carhartt t-shirt was clean today?
Look, man. I contain multitudes, including polos. You know what? Next time I'm going to break out a Hawaiian shirt. That'll be on the recap show.
All right.
You know?
You should do the
Hawaiian
shirt.
Now, will it be Carhartt branded? Who knows?
You were in Hawaii. But we do appreciate everyone watching live on the YouTubes. It's a lot of fun. We have Only Caster Simul record. So anyway, we can call it whatever you guys want. Simul record. Do some fun things.
No. Just because they're listening doesn't mean they get to control the English language either.
They're the people. Right? We're a slave to them.
We are a slave.
Because we don't get paid.
Slave for you.
Yeah.
That was a little, is that Britney Spears?
Maybe.
Slave for you.
They were ferocious.
Yeah, that's what you get for that one.
Nah, I thought it was good.
It's pretty good.
Sound off in the chat. Was that good or bad? I think it was good.
Maybe bueno, maybe we know bueno. Before
what do we cover again?
We cover the Big Ten. It's a conference with 18 freaking teams. So we had 18 games last week. Only 15 this week. But I do want to tell you guys about my bookie, because we're going to preview these games and we're going to do our picks against the spread. So you can go over to my bookie and put a little action on all these games. It's a lot of fun. If you've never used it, you can go in there. Your first deposit, if you use our promo code POC, you can use Pac-12 as well. They're going to keep that around for us, but we're not going to use it anymore because, you know, it doesn't really exist. But POC is a promo code for up to 100% bonus deposit. So if you put in $100, you get to play with $200 and move it around however you want on all 15 of these games in the Big Ten this week or going forward. There's future bets. There's all kinds of fun things to do. If you were going to follow along with my picks, you would be up a little bit. You follow along with David's picks, you'd be down a little bit. So just, you know, choose wisely when we're doing our picks this week, since I have a commanding one-game lead in David in the pick'em. But go to my bookie. We've been working with them for years. It's been a lot of fun. I like going in there, put a little action on the game since we do our picks.
I don't think you're covering the VIG right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't cover the VIG. But still, I would. Your winning record. It depends how much you bet. If you put one unit in every game, yes, you got to beat it by 10%.
Are you doing confidence picks now? You're telling people to bet your picks.
We should do some confidence ones. That would be good.
No, I don't believe in that.
But make sure, so go to my bookie and then promo code POC to get that 100% bonus match. Remember, you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only at my bookie.
Tremendous read. I threw some wrenches in there and you still continued undaunted. I appreciate that about you.
Yeah, but we got a bunch of games to get to. So again, shout out to Shane. We now have sounds for all of the teams, which is awesome. We do need a like roundup thing. So I don't know if I'm sure he heard. He's got to get on that, get his wife on that or whatever. I know we get some suggestions for stuff, but here's what happened. Like Shane just did it and then we're using it. So yes, could you have done something? I'm not going to say you can do something better, but are you going to give suggestions for what we should do for the soundboard? That's fine. Suggest all you want. We're not doing it. Unless you do the work and do it yourself, then we will put it up.
There are so many cool suggestions from so many people. Like in the comments from last week's show, which so many people watched and listened to. It was great. Many people were requesting timestamps. Great suggestion. We're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So if you want to, I don't know, figure out a way to do that for us, that would be cool. If you want to be a remote producer, we'll pay you $0. It'd be great. We'd love it, but we're probably not going to do it because we get paid in, I think, cigarettes for this show, and I don't even smoke.
Yeah, I don't smoke either.
Yeah.
Search had a comment. We'll try to put some comments up there. I will eat redacted out of Red Solo Cup if UCLA loses this weekend.
Did you see that?
That was pretty funny. Did they find him? Like
they found him on Snapchat. They found him on a couple different things and harassed him about eating dog shit out of a.
It was a Florida State fan. It was like 3-2-1 Noel or something. So, you know, declared on Twitter that he would eat dog poop with a spoon out of a Red Solo Cup if Florida State lost to Boston College.
They not only lost, they got their butts kicked by Boston College.
Ran all over. Yeah. He deletes his account. A lot of people were. There's internet sleuths out there. I think Barstool people probably, found him. But yeah, that's one of those things. You don't want to make those kind of declarations. You know, it's like, did David Woods go out and say, USC and UCLA were going to have the same 6-6 record this season? He said that, but he didn't say, if that doesn't happen,
I'm going to eat. Clearly they're both 1-0 right now.
On pace.
And frankly, let's be real, UCLA going into a road environment versus USC going into a neutral site environment, much better win.
And USC beat a team that hasn't won a game yet.
No, so Hawaii had won a game.
Hawaii already won a game. So I think strength.
Really,
of,
I
strength
think
of record. UCLA is the best in the country.
My problem, I think, was undershooting both teams' records. I think they're obviously both going to meet in the playoff at 12-0.
Well, they're going to play each other.
Well, they're going to play first in the Big Ten title game.
Well, they have to play each other in the regular season.
They have to play each other in the regular season, then the Big 12 title game. But then everyone's going to say, well, these are clearly the two best teams in the country. Yeah. And then they meet again in the national championship.
I do think, like, for real, like, is it strength of record the thing? Like, is UCLA as the best strength? Like, does anyone have a win over a team that has a win? Like, I don't know. It would have to be a week zero team that won and then lost it. But, like,
did Georgia Tech play last week? I don't know.
But they haven't beaten someone with a win. They,
oh, right.
Florida State lost. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think, I think strength of record.
No, no, no. I mean, did Georgia Tech play last week? I.e., did somebody beat Georgia Tech last week?
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think we would have heard if they, no, I don't think so. So
it's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we could roll right into it. We did our power rankings last time. Anyone mad at those? We did see the AP poll come out, and Oregon did drop down there. But you still got Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, and Oregon in the big, in the top 10. But Oregon dropped out from number 3, I think, down to like number 7, if I have it. I don't remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, you don't care about the polls or anything, right?
Nope. Does anyone care about the poll that doesn't matter?
I love to talk about the polls and stuff.
I like our power rankings because we've determined over the years they're definitive.
100%.
Yeah, they matter. They factor in. And I care once it gets into CFP time. But who cares about the AP poll?
Yeah.
And the coaches poll. Good God. Who cares about that? Nobody.
So our survival pool is going on. Mm. Like Survivor. We should get played some of that. Oh, by the way, we didn't get dinged for... copyright. So I think all of our sound bites are short enough.
Let's go.
I think the last time when we had our intro, that's what would get dinged because it's too long. So I think you can have the short ones, the short little bits. So good job by Shane and Shane's wife for doing that. Matthew, normally give him lots of props. Obviously, Stanford guy, super smart. Took us to a really nice brunch in Vegas last time we saw him. But we're getting a little shame. He's a little late coming back with the information on the picks and everything.
No, let me just let everyone know up top. We see you, we hear you. We're not paying Matthew this week.
Yes.
Yes. Is that a violation of many labor laws? Yes.
We're docking his pay.
But we're docking his pay. Because our services to you, the reader, the listener, the watcher, the viewer, and our employee just doesn't matter. So Matthew, you're not getting paid this week.
Tech beat Georgia State last week, Search says so. Okay, so he wrote in, and we do have, we'll put the active link. If you're still alive.
Wait, DJ Whitehead has a really important request.
Oh, hold on.
Let's he would like us to talk in double speed.
Okay.
Because he's used to listening later at double speed, but he caught us live today, and now he would like us to talk faster.
What do you listen to? Thanks, DJ. That's going to be really hard to do. But then your double speed later listen would be very, very difficult. I listen to I do 1.2 or 1.5 sometimes now when I listen to podcasts. What are you?
I listen to one speed.
What?
I listen to 1X.
Just 1X?
Just 1X.
Well, it's not that fast usually. But that's what it sounds like when you listen to 2X.
Correct.
I think I told you a friend of mine...
You're not fulfilling DJ Whitehead's request here all.
That's sorry.
You're not even trying.
Did he do a super chat?
That's true.
Okay.
Good point.
A friend of mine, she is legally blind. She's a masseuse, legally blind. And so she can't read text messages. And I think I told you guys this. Back in the early days when Jake Olson was like coming through and I did an interview with him. And I'm like texting and I figured it was texting with his... family or something, and it was him. And the way she would, and I guess he does the same way, you look at your phone, you listen to it, so they play text messages. But it doesn't say, like, David texted and said, I'm going to be late again. Can you cover for me because I'm terrible at my job? It goes, and but they can hear it so fast, they understand it. Like, I could listen to her text message, her listening to her text messages. I have no idea what they're saying, and I don't know how she can process it that quickly, but I guess you can't see and you just pick it up so fast. But she'll play text messages and it's like so fast. So I don't know, I can't do that.
Tremendous.
Yeah. Is this great? This is the content you guys want?
This is the content.
SMU is the other team that had a win over a team with the win. So
you didn't finish saying your Matthew thing.
I know, but I just wanted to put that up there. So they have a win over Nevada. So
I know, SMU, I'm now interrupting my interruption to get you back on task.
Yeah, so UCLA and SMU, two best strengths of records in the country. Okay, so we had 252 valid entries. Somebody put in Minnesota that played on Thursday, on Saturday. You can't do that. Only 84 survived. So most people picked the biggest underdog last week, USC, including David and I. So we're out. But 84 players did survive. So this week should be a little easier. There's three underdogs. So you have to pick a winner and a loser. You know, the Big Ten went 17-1, and it was like a missed field goal at the end for Minnesota. So, yeah, get in there. If you're one of those 84, please enter your picks. We will put the link in all of the show notes, and we tweeted. I just tweeted it out earlier this morning from our Big Ten cast, our Big Ten podcast, our B1G podcast Twitter account. If you're not one of those 84, don't enter your picks because that's just more work for Matthew. Now, we don't really care if he has more work, but we kind of care a little. So don't do that. So only the 84 people that survived should enter their picks. So we cut out a huge chunk. We made Matthew's job way easier. We should dock his pay again.
I mean, clearly there will be a reduction coming.
Yeah.
But we got to clear that with the board first.
We should do like 50%.
We got to talk with the board. We shouldn't throw these things out.
We do a revenue share. So
before we talk to all the people who have a stake in this.
Yeah. No, we do like a revenue share. And so we're going to have to cut 50% of what we take in from the pool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, you know how much that is?
It's
nothing.
It's $0.
Zero. It's a zero freaking dollars. Okay, why don't we do some preview? You ready for previews, David?
I've never been in my life more ready for previews.
All right, we're going to start on Friday. So we do the previews in order of which the games will be played. And just so you guys know, the Big Ten, the center of the Big Ten is now in Los Angeles. So we are all on West Coast time now. So just get used to it. These are all West Coast times. That's just the way we do things.
Yes.
We're us. All right. First up, we got
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
On Friday at 4 p.m. on the Big Ten Network, Western Illinois is traveling all the way to Indiana. So that's from all the way Western Illinois. It's over here.
Yeah.
All the way to Indiana. Long trip. There's no line on this football game.
No. FCS stuff.
It's
I think we're not going to preview FCS game.
I'm going to watch it pretty closely though.
It's the only game on Friday.
Well, no, it doesn't.
That's a lie. It starts.
Yeah, but that was a lie.
Okay.
You just lied to our listeners. It's not the only game on Friday.
It's not the first time. I don't know. Last time that'll happen.
I no need in previewing this. I don't think anyone in the world can name a single player on Western Illinois. Don't like look it up and then be like, oh, I can. No, you can't.
No, they got that transfer from that thing.
No, stop it. Indiana, Kurt Cignetti. I'm going to be watching this one closely because Indiana travels to the Rose Bowl next weekend to begin conference play for both the Hoosiers and the Bruins. And that'll be a very interesting game. So I'll be watching this one closely, but yeah, Indiana should kill him.
All right. I don't know if I'll be watching this one closely, but I'll watch somewhat. And we like Indiana a lot. This is probably going to be one of those take care of the FCS teams, not like what we saw for Oregon and Idaho. So I think this is going to be just Indiana rolling. We both love Kirk Cignetti. Just listen to him talk. You're excited for him. So, yeah. No line, no pick, but should just be a Big Ten blowout to start the weekend. So that's good. All right. Next up, we have – I got to get this board in some sort of order, but okay.
Northwestern Wildcats.
All right. Northwestern is taking on Duke at 6 p.m. on Friday on FS1. Duke, it says here that they really beat the shit out of Elon Musk last Friday.
Oh.
Yeah. 26-3.
The richest man in the world?
The fighting Elon. Yeah, he lost pretty hard. Duke.
New head coach over at Duke.
New head coach. No more Mike Elko.
No, he goes to Texas A&M.
For Duke.
Who they lost, so I don't know. That's not good.
They're in the midst of a minor key rebuild, and we just saw the massive home field advantage for Northwestern last weekend. Northwestern's a 2.5-point favorite. I think they keep the good vibes going. I think they win this one by 3. I think they cover this by 1.5 point.
So I have the line other places at 3. Do you want to get an update here? Because
No, because this is the standard by which I operate. But yes, I will get you an updated line.
Because it's
as requested.
We could get a lot of rain.
No, I still have it as Northwestern minus 2.5.
Okay. Weather. There's a bunch of weather alerts. So, but like I said, there's a bunch of Big Ten home games, and turns out, I mean, I wasn't aware of this, but some of the Big Ten places
are in bad weather states.
Yeah, they're pretty crappy. I mean, we're in Los Angeles, the center of Big Ten universe, and it's.
But a lot of those like extraneous Big Ten teams in other parts of the country, there you're telling me they're. So tell me more about this Midwest. What's in it?
There's bad weather.
Is there truly something called a rust belt in this country?
I don't know. It's a mythical rust belt. I don't think it really exists. It's like
live there.
It's like the Wizard of Oz.
Wow.
Yeah. Rain, wind forecast could keep this game closer.
New quarterback, buddy, for Duke. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I would like to get 3, but I'm going to take the 2.5. Do you know who leads the all-time series?
Who?
Duke, 13-10.
Mm.
And the last 5 outings, you know who won this game?
Mm.
Duke.
Mm.
5-0 against the spread.
Mm. Mm.
2 years ago.
You know it doesn't matter?
What?
Historical records.
I don't know. 5-0 against the spread?
Doesn't matter.
Duke did struggle
against the fighting Elons? Yes, they did. You know what Northwestern did? They took on mighty Miami of Ohio at home last week. They beat Miami of Ohio last week by 7.
Northwestern did have a few starters out last week, too. So we'll
you're
see
talking about Miami of Ohio.
Yeah. So I think these are 2 struggle bus teams. I'm just going to take the points here, especially because Duke has had, you know, kind of
sure, whatever.
Northwestern's number. I'm
until Northwestern stops doing it. So I don't understand how Northwestern wins football games. I won't understand it. But until they stop doing it,
you're going to pick.
I'm going to continue to pick them. Yes.
We got Mark. Wind in Chicago. Mm.
Point of order. It's called the Windy City, not because of the weather, but because of political gasbaggery. Circa like 1900.
I love gas baggery. Yeah. That's such a great.
The Windy City would really be San Francisco. It's a very windy city.
So we talk about Midwest. Search says it's mid. It's in the name. Yeah.
Oh.
So oh. And then he.
Why is Search already giving me the facts that I'm going to give?
Yeah. So you just read his thing.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. You just totally
Search
read
is,
his
Search
thing.
Is cramping my style here. I don't like this.
And then. And so even going to so your knowledge, first of all, diminished by Search already beating you to it.
Dude.
And it's been and Mark says, I think you learned that from Matt in 1999 because Pat Summerall would never shut up about it. So
no.
Both you guys are mid, like the God. The place where many
I'm
of in, these.
I'm absolutely enraged right now.
Yeah. Well, you just got screwed. Okay. So let's move to Saturday. We have 4 more 9 a.m. games. To have 4 games at 9 a.m. that we have to cover. Now, the cool thing is my game that I'm covering is until like 8 p.m. I'm going to be able to watch a lot of the stuff. But let's start with the big one of the weekend, if I could find it. Yes.
Michigan Wolverines.
Ah, scratch, 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 scratch.
All right, this is 9 a.m. on Big Fox, number 3, Texas, traveling to Ann Arbor to take on the number 10 Michigan Wolverines. Can I tell you what the odds makers have this at?
Is it 7.5 now?
Yeah, but not Michigan by 7.5 at home. No, Texas on the road at Michigan by 7.5. So usually, I mean, so weird thing about this one is usually you don't see like lines move that significantly from where you might have had it preseason based on the results of one game. But it was a pretty disconcerting game for Michigan at home against Fresno State.
Yeah.
I just, 7.5 feels, I don't know. I really don't know because I'm sitting here and I'm like, Sharon Moore, he coached last year, like he did a fair bit of the head coaching duties, but now that it's his team, like what has changed? And yeah, they didn't look good in that opening game. No. I think they may have made the wrong choice at quarterback, but who's to know really? Texas still has, you know, they had some critical injuries heading into the season at running back, but
seemed to be okay last
they
week
seem to be totally there. Fine.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
I'll go Texas.
Oh, okay.
Texas minus 7.5.
I'm a little surprised because I'm going with Texas as well. Again, the line I saw was 7, so you always kind of screw me with these half points, it seems like. But here's the thing. The last year plus the opener, without Jim Harbaugh, Michigan is 0-4 against the spread against non-conference opponents. They didn't cover the 3 games last year when Harbaugh wasn't coaching, and they didn't cover week 1. Michigan didn't look very good. I think that defensive front is going to be really tough, and I think you're going to give Quinn Ewers some problems. It's a really, really good defense, but I just didn't see enough. You know, Fresno State was able to have some success. I think Texas is going to have a lot more success, but just offensively, the offensive line wasn't as good as I thought it would be. The quarterback situation is kind of weird. Maybe they're holding things back, and this was sort of like we're saving it all for Texas, and Michigan comes out there and plays well. But from what I saw the last 2 weeks, I think I'm going to trust Texas to be a little bit more of like a national championship college football playoff kind of contending team. I think Michigan certainly be there. They're defending champs, but I'm going to take Texas here and lay the 7.5.
Yeah, and I mean, Texas beat Colorado State 52-0, and Colorado State's not supposed to be good.
But they're not.
They're not. They shouldn't be shut out and lose by 52.
Yeah, they're in the same conference as Fresno State.
Yeah, so
who lost their head coach?
Yeah,
like a week ago or whatever.
Yeah,
Kyle said. Now here's what's those are moist points for Michigan at home versus a Sark-led team. It is a Sark-led team, and I've covered many of those.
Yeah, but did Sark kind of shake that off last year? I think he kind of did.
Yeah,
like he's pretty much put to bed the 7-win thing now, huh?
Yeah,
don't you think?
I think he's when he made the playoffs and stuff. He did lose to Washington though, which is like a weird. He's like some of those ghosts of his past. He doesn't have good success in those games. But all right, so we're going to agree on this one. We will both take Texas. Should we be homers about the Big Ten? No,
no, I don't think we're doing that. No, we don't play that game.
Okay, next up, also at 9 a.m.
Penn State Nittany Lions. Rawr.
That's such a good They're one. So good. All right, this game is also at 9 a.m. on the Big Ten Network. Bowling Green traveling to number 8, Penn State. Penn State is, as of this morning, a 35-point favorite at home over Golden Eagles. What are they?
Green
Falcons?
Yeah, Green Falcons. Is that pretty good? I got that.
That was amazing. Is that what it is?
I believe so.
Hang on.
Someone tell us in the chat.
They are the Falcons. Are they Green Falcons? I guess they are.
Or maybe Green. Maybe it's just Bowling Green.
Maybe they're just Falcons. The Bowling Green Falcons.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because they wouldn't be the Green Falcons, because then it would be the Bowling Green Falcons.
Yeah.
The Bowling Green Falcons. Yeah, so Penn State, I thought, looked dominant last week on the road at West Virginia. There's always the chance for like kind of a letdown in this game. Yeah. And also, 35 points is a lot of points. So, I mean, looking at what Bowling Green is expected to be this year, they're not good, but they're also not the worst team in college football.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to take them in the points.
I'm going to take them in the points too. Bowling Green's actually done well against Big Ten opponents. I mean, they've had three victories in the last nine games. I think they were about even against the spread. But I feel like this is one of those things where you got a lot of points. You know, they're not a terrible team. I think Penn State probably wins by like 28, but I don't know. Are they going to make it like a 42-0 sort of deal? I think it could be like a 42-14 kind of thing. And then you get the cover there. So we'll see. West Virginia couldn't run the ball at all. I don't know. I'm very interested to see how Penn State does here. But that was a rivalry game. It was on the road. Like, you're fired up for that. Is there a little bit of a hangover? Do you really want to beat the crap out of Bowling Green like you wanted to beat the crap out of West Virginia? Not sure. So, yeah. So I will take the points as well. It's a lot of points. We did actually pretty well. Someone wrote me about, like, he had a theory about, I forget, it was some like betting theory. And he thought that our strategy of taking, you know, a lot of points in like lopsided games wasn't going to work. But actually, I think it was like six or seven of like the big spreads, we took the points, and those teams, or of the, I think there was like 10 games with like big point spreads, and like it was like seven, or maybe it was like 11, you know, 7-4 or something, and the big spreads winning. So the big spreads actually came in more than the favorites in those large games last week, if I remember correctly.
Very exciting.
Okay. This one doesn't have a line. We have, if I can find it,
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Wow. This is 9 a.m. on Peacock. So the first Peacock game, I think, for the Big Ten this year. There weren't any last week, were they?
Let me see.
I don't think so. Anyway, Rhode Island coming to town to take on Minnesota. Rhode Island in week one beat Mighty Holy Cross by 3 points at home.
Holy Cross, I like literally grew up near there.
Yeah, are you excited? There's no line on this game. Minnesota should win, but Rhode Island, maybe decent. Who knows?
The Roadies.
Yeah.
URI, baby. You don't go, you know.
They're an FCS team.
Home of Lamar Odom.
Mm-hmm.
I had friends from high school go there because it was just like.
You had friends from high school from Rhode Island?
No, that went to Rhode Island, University of Rhode Island.
Wow.
But I literally.
How'd they end up there?
Because it's like, I mean, the town I was in was like two towns over from Rhode Island. You have to, like, New England's
How
very small.
How far away is Rhode Island from Massachusetts?
They're touching.
Who knew? Like, who knew?
It's unfortunate because the states are small. And
so, all right. Just to recap, geography-wise, you're telling me Rhode Island and Massachusetts touch.
Yes.
The Midwest exists.
Yes.
And there is something called the Rust Belt.
All these things are apparently true.
Wow, I'm learning so much.
It's, you know, if you got a puzzle, like, as a kid of the United States, like, Rhode Island doesn't get its own piece. It's part of usually a New England piece.
If you learn nothing from the podcast of champions this year, keep in mind, like, however many I states you think there are, multiply that number by three. However many M states you think there are, multiply that by like four, and you'll probably be in the ballpark.
Yeah. I guess you're talking shit in the chat. Mark says that Bowling Green might be the best team of the MAC. And David responded with 11 guys in the chat might be the best team in the MAC.
That's so true.
But I do feel better about it. Bowling Green is a better, you know, FBS.
Do you know Rhode Island isn't even an island?
No, it's not an island. But
what's going on here?
There's a lot of islands.
Why are we calling it that?
There's a lot of islands.
Yeah, but it's not an island. It should be an island.
The whole state should be an island?
Well, no, just like, I don't know. It should have like a little canal that separates it from the mainland. Dig a canal so we can have a proper name.
You go down to like Newport and stuff. Like, there's a lot.
Cut it off. Cut Rhode Island off. Okay.
Providence. We used to drive down there for like concerts and stuff sometimes.
I would like somebody to cut off Rhode Island from the country. Is that so much to ask?
Okay, hold on. We have Avery as a comment. Oh, wait, that's the wrong one. Let's pull it up here. Sup, boys. Just want to say thanks for getting the pod working on YouTube Music. You were the last ones I still needed to open Apple Podcast for. Yeah, we worked really hard to get this on something I didn't know existed or... Yeah. Well, I'm glad it worked, Avery, but I don't even know what that is. So,
shit.
Yeah. Essentially the way the podcast works is we have a platform that we put it up on and it just connects to a bunch of other ones. And so, I don't know. Sometimes they're like, hey, why isn't it up on? We had someone ask about Google Podcasts the other day. I'm like, it doesn't even exist anymore. Like, I used to like promote, go on Google Podcasts. Like, somehow they just got rid of it. Like, it doesn't exist.
DJ Whitehead has an important edit to Rhode Island.
To Roadland?
Yes.
Change the name.
Roadland sounds like something from a Mad Max movie. Yeah. Like, we're driving from the Bullet Farm to Roadland.
We're going to Roadland. There was a funny, like, Abe Simpson had a good one. Like, he was writing to the, I don't know, it was like the president of the United States. He's like, there are too many states. Please eliminate three. You know, something like that. Just like making these declarations. Like, let's change Rhode Island to Roadland. Let's do that. All right, what is our next game? It's probably my job to do this, right? So we Minnesota's just going to crush them.
Mm-hmm.
Crush, like
crush,
crushing. All right, next up we got
Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
Akron.
She's got a good voice, by the way. I like her. I like
it's, the way yeah. Akron. At, fresh off of. Getting just steamrolled by Ohio State, has to take on another Big Ten team, traveling over to Rutgers to take on the Scarlet Knights. 9 a.m. Big Ten Network. Rutgers played with their food for a little bit last week, Howard, and then pulled away on the strength of a defense that is very good and a running game that is very good. And those are the very good things. Akron... They struggled last week, and I want to say, is that the team that lost its quarterback?
Ben Finley is questionable with rib injury. You only get this stuff here, baby.
The second quarterback
That's
who came,
research.
Yeah, the second quarterback who came in for Akron was really one dimensional. Now maybe they can
Taj
make that.
Bullock.
Yeah, maybe they can make that dimension better, in with time to prepare. Joe Moorhead, theoretically a good offensive coach. But I don't think it's going to get that much better. So give me Rutgers.
I'm going to take Rutgers too. Could have rain again.
And this is -22.5, I think.
I got -22.5, yeah. It could be rain in the forecast for Saturday's game. Those two quarterbacks, no matter who played, 4.5 yards per attempt last week. Now it's playing Ohio State, but still. I think 20, like if it's... I feel like this could be like a 4-touchdown kind of game. So I will take Rutgers and lay the 22.5. Rutgers has beat their last 10 non-conference opponents. Mm. So I don't think they've been – I think there's a lot of tomato cans in there. But still, with quarterback out, it's just – I think it's one of those things where you just got your ass handed to you by Ohio State. You're kind of licking your wounds. The center got hurt for Arkansas, one of the wide receivers.
For
Akron.
Yeah.
I will take Rutgers as well. All right. So that we have one more. Yeah, that was those are all the 9 a.m. games. All right. Next up, we got a big rivalry game. This should be a lot of fun with maybe a team that has some offense.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
12:30 p.m. on CBS. Iowa State traveling all the way to number 21, Iowa. Iowa last week looked like the worst version of Brian Ferentz Iowa in the first half against Illinois State. Was that what it was last week? I think so. And then in the second half, bit of an offensive explosion. multiple actual offensive touchdowns. It was weird and disconcerting, and I didn't like it. Iowa State last week beat a Dakota at home.
Oh.
That's one of the Dakotas. And if you beat a Dakota, it really doesn't matter which one. That's impressive. I just don't want to pick Iowa. So I'm going to pick Iowa State. Again, so Northwestern, fun, comforting. I don't understand how they win, but it's cute. It's fun. I don't understand how Iowa wins. It's not cute or fun. It's one of the worst things I can imagine. And I until they keep doing it, I can't actually pick them. Maybe right. I won't ever pick them. I might just pick against Iowa in perpetuity.
You could do it. Search says, Kirk Ferentz will be back on the field to slow that offense down this week.
Great point.
With his suspension ending. Yeah, so he was suspended last week.
He might tap the brakes on all these disgusting points being scored.
What are these points? 40 points? Like, are you out of your mind? I do think that they've moved forward offensively, and they're going to score. These games have always been super. Like, it's like, I think Iowa State, the last three times they won this game is by 3 points. These are super, super close. So, like, 3 points is a lot in this game. 17 of the last 19 have the under has hit. Points are at a premium. But I think this year, I think this is going to be like, this is going to look like a regular football game and not like a 13-12 kind of thing.
Look, let's just be real. We're both pushing this one. It doesn't matter.
Iowa just seems to do well in these ones.
Yeah, Iowa's winning this by 3, right?
It could be a push. Yeah.
We're pushing.
It's probably what's going to go on here. But I will take Iowa. I can't believe I'm like taking Iowa and laying points. But they covered the spread last week by a lot. So we'll kind of go on from there. Okay. Let's move on to
Maryland Terrapins.
Snap. Are you going to do the other team that's in this game?
Oh, I forgot about that. We have both. Very good. We also have
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
The first game of Big Ten play, 12:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Michigan State traveling to Maryland. Maryland's an 8.5-point favorite. So opening games for both teams, Maryland looked very impressive, better than I was expecting them to look with a new quarterback. Michigan State, major struggle fest offensively, passing game especially, really struggling. Running game was okay, and you can kind of see the bones of a Jonathan Smith offense there. Defense was pretty good. But this is at Maryland, and Maryland looked like they were much more able to move the ball and score in week one. So I'm going to pick the Terrapins to cover the 8.5.
I'm going to go against you.
Okay.
I'm going to take Sparty in this one to get the first Big Ten conference win expanded. And I think they can cover the spread here. Maryland did look a lot better than what I thought last week. Michigan State sort of had some issues. They crossed the 50 4 times last week and didn't score. And I think 3 of those times were inside. Yeah, 3 times inside the 11-yard line and didn't score. I don't think that's going to continue. I think Aiden Childs will figure some stuff out. I like Maryland to win this game, but to be, you know, significantly more than a touchdown, I will, maybe not significantly, but more than a touchdown, I'm going to take Sparty and the points.
Wow. Okay. So I'm going to guess I'm 2 games up at this point through our picks.
All right. Well, okay. You were to guess that last week and it didn't.
No, but I'm not guessing. So I'm at about two games up right now.
All right. Let's see. Next up we have, where is it? There we go.
Washington Huskies.
All right, so fresh off of beating up on Weber State, they've graduated to the FBS, have the Huskies. They are hosting Eastern Michigan at 12:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Washington is a 24.5-point favorite. For those who are unfamiliar, Eastern Michigan is
Bad.
They're like better than Western Michigan slightly, probably worse than Central Michigan. So they are probably the middling. You know, it's you would ideally like Central Michigan to be the middle one, right?
They beat UMass in the opener by 28-14.
Right. But you would ideally like Central Michigan to be the middling one among the Michigans, the directional Michigans. But unfortunately, they are probably the best. Eastern is the middle one, and Western is the last one. So that's tough.
Where's the one that Connor Stallions was on the sideline for? That was Central Michigan.
A good way to remember which teams are best is to go in alphabetical order.
Oh.
Central, C, starts with a C, not an S. Starts with a C. That's first.
Okay.
Eastern starts with an E. Got it?
Next.
And then the one after that, Western.
And then the worst.
That's the last one.
Okay.
Okay? So there you go. Washington beat Weber State by a lot and looked convincing doing it. I'm not totally convinced Eastern Michigan is a whole hell of a lot better than Weber State, so I will take Washington.
I'm with you on this one. I think the lines actually might even moved up since we're picking. I'll go 24.5, but I think it's some places, you know. Yeah, I think, like right now it looks like 24.5 has been pretty, but I've seen it up to like 26, things like that. So, yeah, Eastern Michigan didn't look great playing a pretty bad UMass team. I like Washington, you know, Jed Fish to be able to like take care of business at home and cover that big spread, which is kind of interesting. Okay. Next up we got
Wisconsin Badgers.
Badger. 12:30 p.m. on FS1, South Dakota traveling to Wisconsin. So this is a Dakota again.
Yeah. Well, it always scares me when you're a Dakota.
Always got to be scared of a Dakota.
Yeah. Usually with a state there. It needs a state.
Now, like, I don't think it's anywhere near like a done deal that like Wisconsin like runs away with this one, but they should obviously beat even a solid Dakota. So I'm going to take Wisconsin here. We don't have a line.
We don't have a line. Yeah, I think Wisconsin's going to take care of business. But
they look shaky.
They're a little shaky.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's no line. If this was like a big, you know, 40-pointer, I think I would take South Dakota or whatever. But no line, at least for us on this one with the FCS. So we won't make a pick there. Okay. Next up we have, if I can find it,
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
All right, so Kansas is coming to town. This is ranked Kansas. This is a new world we all live in. They are traveling to Illinois. This game is taking place at 4 p.m. on FS1. Kansas is number 19 in the country. Illinois is a 5.5 home dog to Kansas. So they will need to cover 5.5. Illinois blew out their tomato can in week one, 45-0. But Kansas is pretty good at the old football these days.
Yeah.
And so I think preseason, I think the obvious thing would have been to pick Kansas here. And I'm not going to take so much away from a week one blowout of an FCS school to pick anything different. So I'll take Kansas to cover the 5.5.
I'm going to agree with you on this one. Thought about Illinois. They've been pretty good in some of these situations. I think they they were 13-point dog against Maryland last year and won.
They could. I mean, Kansas isn't, you know, the analytics don't love them. Like they're probably not even the 19th team in the country, according to WADA systems. And Illinois, I mean, they poured it on last week. Altmaier looked pretty good. They've got a coach who's had some success. So you can see a path for them to win this, obviously.
Yeah. Be big for the Big Ten to get this win, too. It's like it's a ranked win.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to be fired up for it.
Yeah.
Am I talking myself into this?
I kind of wanted to. Crap. You want to switch?
Yeah, let's switch it. Illinois.
All right. I'll go with you. Obviously, this means Kansas is going to roll.
Oh, going to crush. Going to murder. Yeah.
But I was thinking about it. They could lay some eggs, but they've been able to rise up and get some wins like that. So
I think they'll be fired up for this one.
Okay. We got the number two team of the country in action next. If I can find the drop, here we go.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
4:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. Western Michigan, what did we learn?
The worst. Michigan.
Correct. And do you know how you figured that out?
Alphabetical order.
Boom. See? I'm teaching you things.
Yeah.
Traveling to Columbus to take on the number two Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State's a 38-point favorite. It's not 50.
Right. And with it
not being 50, I'm going to regrettably, shamefully, and with much mental torment and anguish take Ohio State and the Fighting Chip Kellys.
Yeah, the Fighting Chip Kellys. I like it. A lot of wind's going to be at this game. There's a lot of weather. I could talk about more about weather. Yeah, I think with Chip Kelly running the offense, it's an easy cover for Ohio State because he's one of the best coaches of our lifetime, I would say. We thought last week was going to be an easy 50-point cover when it was like a 7-point game in the second quarter or whatever it was, and almost – blew that one. So only 38 points in this one. I'm going to take the Fighting Chip Kellys and feel pretty good about this one going forward. Okay, so we're both on Ohio State for this one. Here's a big one. It's like a big one, like a really, really, really big one.
Big one.
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
4:30 p.m. on NBC. Colorado at Nebraska. Nebraska is a 7.5-point home favorite. So Colorado last week didn't look great. Didn't look good. So Shedeur Sanders, still very good. Travis Hunter, still obviously a freak. Jimmy Horn, good player. Offensive line, still just an absolute train wreck, shit pile.
That's going to be
dumpster fire.
Big mismatch here. I think.
Awful. Defense, still pretty much meh entirely. Now, look, we've been cautioned against getting optimistic about Nebraska by many people who've been following the Big Ten the last 10 years. And I don't love that sort of like thinking about teams. Like, oh, they're always going to do this because they've done it in the past. Matt Rhule has always done one thing at college programs, which is turn those fucking things around and then start coaching really well and winning a lot of games.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to start happening here. I think this year is that beginning of that stretch for Nebraska. And I kind of think they're going to smoke Colorado. Like, I kind of think they're going to blow them out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give me Nebraska -7.5.
I had them. I had Nebraska going 10-2 this year, which is, seems kind of crazy. Throw caution to the wind of all those Big Ten people that told me to not buy into any Nebraska hype. But it was 36-14 last year in Boulder.
Yeah, but that was Colorado. Did you watch that one?
Yeah, +3 turnovers.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
This is going to be like revenge game. I think Nebraska at home, they're so excited about Dylan Raiola. I mean, I think this is at least a 2-touchdown kind of game. Now we'll see if I'm wrong. I think this is one of those ones where we saw the wheels kind of come off the hype train for Coach Prime later, you know, getting that Nebraska win, getting the TCU win early last season. And then some really bad stuff happening, losing to a horrible, horrible Stanford team, getting absolutely boat raced by Oregon. I feel like this is one of those things where Nebraska is a real team and Colorado is trying to be a real team. And it's not going to go well. I think this is like receipts were kept and this is going, it's going to be a beatdown.
Yep.
I like Nebraska a lot in this one. Okay. Let's go to
Whoa! Oregon Ducks.
This is at 7 p.m., also on Peacock. How is this one on Peacock?
So if you're an Oregon fan, last week you couldn't watch your game because it wasn't on Big Ten wasn't on Comcast. They were on the Big Ten. This week you're going to be on Peacock, so you got to go buy that or whatever. So it's
I'm going to have to go buy that. This sucks. Why is this game on Peacock?
It's on Peacock.
Yeah. This game should be on Fox.
You said it. Why? Because then now you got to go buy it. That's why it's on
Peacock.
Yeah.
All right. This game, 7 p.m. on Peacock. Boise State traveling to number 7, Oregon. Oregon's a 19.5-point favorite. Oregon last week struggled with Idaho, the lesser team in the state of Idaho.
Yes. I don't know if it's alphabetical, but Boise is
definitely the better.
Greater.
Does this work with all states?
Maybe.
Maybe. I think that would require Cal being good, though.
Hmm.
No, because they're the University of California at Berkeley. Let's be real.
Okay.
But it would require all of the UCs being better than USC.
Yes.
And San Diego State being better than all of them.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe this doesn't work out so well.
Okay.
All right. But San Diego State is also Cal State.
True.
But that makes it even worse,
yeah,
right? Because then they're further
up.
Yeah. Then they're okay. Maybe this doesn't work out. Boise State traveling to Eugene. Boise State. Last week, how many touchdowns do you think, if you had to guess, Boise State's running back had last week against the Fighting Clay Heltons?
I don't know. Maybe 4.
Higher.
5?
Higher.
6?
6. He had 6 touchdowns and 267 yards on
That's a good season.
On 20 carries.
But that was one game?
That was in one game.
Wow.
On 20 carries.
Clay Hilton's really good at stuff.
That's like Kalen Ballage. Remember that game against at ASU where he had 9 touchdowns or whatever it was? Like his rate of touch per touchdown was insane. Anyway, their offense looked great. Their defense gave up 45 points to a Clay Helton Georgia Southern team. So, you know, you take the good, you take the bad. My point is they can score. Oregon last week looked like they were still ironing out a lot of kinks. I think they're going to be motivated to play a lot better this week. I'm not sure they have 19.5 points of motivation, though, against what might be a decent Boise State team. So I'm going to take Boise State in the points.
Wow. Not so fast, my friend.
Mm.
I think the Ducks came into the season hype train, just like the Dr. Pepper commercial.
Mm.
You struggle with an Idaho squad, drop in the AP poll 4 spots, winning by double digits. That doesn't usually sit very well.
Oh, you think you're going to get a nobody believes in us game?
I think it's going to be one of those things where we can't just cruise through. We're going to go through. Now, I don't know. Did you know that Oregon's never beat Boise State? They're 0-3. They do have a good punch against them, but that's it. They haven't won a game.
Wait. Where's your logic on this? Because you were just talking about Duke and Northwestern and their historical record.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go against that?
Well, that was more recent historical record against the spread. I'm telling you, this is a motivated Oregon team. They've never beat Boise. They fell in the polls after, another Idaho team. We got that email about how Oregon struggled with the Idaho teams over the years. I think they're going to cover this one. I think this is going to be like a blitzkrieg sort of situation and just blow them out.
Got it.
So give me Oregon. Give me the Ducks. It's supposed to be 90 degrees there, too, by the way.
You fool. You imbecile.
How funny is it that, the Oregon game is, 90 degrees, there's a heat wave, and then throughout the rest of the Midwest, it's all rain and stuff like that. So, kind of crazy. All right, we're going to go against each other there as well. All right, and we got our last game. This is – I'm going to be working so late.
USC Trojans.
8 p.m. on the Big Ten Network, Utah State traveling to the Coliseum to take on number 13 USC. USC is a 28.5 point favorite. I will be taking the Trojans.
I'm going to as well. I think there's definitely a potential for a hangover. It is an 8 p.m. game, short week. USC played on Sunday. You have to have Monday off, so they really didn't get started until Tuesday. But they look so much better. Utah State, you know, veteran offensive line. They got some, you know, they have a wide receiver that was a third-team All-American for, like, some website last year. But, you know, 1,000-yard receiver that comes back. Guess who's going to be the quarterback, potentially, for Utah State?
Who?
The pig farmer, Bryson Barnes.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. He transferred from Utah.
Do I need to change my pick?
You could.
Yeah. Didn't Bryson Barnes beat USC?
He did.
Yeah.
The pig farmer. No, he's the backup and the starter.
Are you telling me that the starter at times for Utah, at times the last couple of years,
yes,
is now a backup at Utah State?
He was. Cam Rising got hurt a lot, and that's when Barnes would play a lot. So he did get to play a lot. But guess what? Utah State starter was out early in that game. He's questionable, but it looks like the pig farmer is going to do it. Now, Utah State lost their head coach like a couple months ago, like similar to like Fresno State, right? They beat something called Robert Morris last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was,
I think he's friends with Howard.
They're buddies.
And Elon.
When my buddy played volleyball there coming out of high school, so you know, like they're not that good. But yeah, I think this is going to be one of the things USC hasn't been able to do is put like bad teams away and get the backups to play. I think they really want to do that. They're going to a bye week and then they play Michigan after that. So I feel like they're going to cover this one coming back home. They just look like a much more competent team. I think they're going to cover this one. Do you want to change yours?
No, I don't want to change
mine. Pig farmer?
Do you know, can I tell you what preseason Utah State's defense was projected to be in the country by Bill Connolly's SP Plus?
What?
132nd.
Wow. Yeah. They gave up some points early to Robert Morris.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Robert Morris even FCS or is that D2?
No, I think it's FCS.
Wow.
Paul says, but Utah State also has a former Hawkeye quarterback, almost guaranteeing a victory for all opponents. Yeah, so I think the starter like transferred in from Iowa, which that's not a good sign.
No, you don't want your quarterback from Iowa.
But then, you know, they got the pig farmer coming in there. And he's someone that he definitely doesn't give two Fs, right? Like he's no stage is too big. He doesn't care. So, I mean, if he ends up playing, it could be, I think, a good thing. But I just have a feeling they're going to cover this one.
So. All right. So we differ on 1, 2, 3, 4 games.
All right. So I could increase my lead to 5.
All right. I think I'm going to be up by 3 at the end of this weekend.
You think you're going to go 4-0
against Yeah. I'm going to go 4-0 in the differing games.
All right.
I think this is the week. I'm going to pick every single one of these correctly.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every single one. Parlay my picks. Win thousands and thousands of dollars.
All right. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break and we will come back and answer some questions.
Let's do it.
Wow, we're over an hour in.
Yeah, I know.
How did that happen?
Dude, who knows?
Do we have voicemails? I don't think we do. Okay.
All right, we've got from Mobius.
Oh, okay.
Sounds to represent the skulls. I assume that was meant to be schools. Dave, Ryan. Regarding the problem of finding new sounds for some of the new Big Ten opponents, my thought is to have someone sift through the yells at each of the schools in question. No doubt, some of these mascots don't make sounds. Many of the yells at traditional football playing schools are particular to each place, and often have strange sounds that are associated directly with the school, maybe the mascot. Before streaming, before cable, even before TV, and especially preceding radio, the tradition of the college yells was huge on campuses. In particular, each school has their two or three main songs that they play over and over depending on the situation or timing in the game. Those often have rousing sections of power sounds meant to fire everybody up. Actually, they are great, a very colorful part of traditional college football. Going to a number of Rose Bowl games as a teenager in the 1970s, the feeling of the raw power and serious business of the Big Ten teams of the era was really a great experience, and, well, really cool. Those cheers, and I guess I would rather not admit, mostly I heard Ohio State and Michigan. It was big. In summation, I suggest I have a hunch that at least one appropriate and typifying sound, authentic sound, for the educational institutions in question may well be found in the traditional yells of those places. Thanks. I've been enjoying your show for a few years and really enjoy your insights and tangents. Glad you found a way to carry on. I will have to write a proper review for your great show at a later date. All the best. Mobius.
Thanks, Mobius. Appreciate that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the blue pill, which suggests that you should get those yells together in MP3 form and read
Morpheus.
Yeah.
Mobius is the bad movie with
Yeah, I'm just going with it. He's Morpheus. Mobius, I think there's a Rick and Morty Mobius. There's a guy he controls.
There's
time.
A terrible movie that was with what's his face? Jordan Leto.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think on Rick and Morty, Jason I think Leto? What's Mobius his name? Maybe controls time yep. if I'm I don't remember.
Anyway.
Yeah. Great suggestion. So hopefully you're good at editing audio and you can do it and then send it up to us in a zip file and then we'll use it.
So, yeah.
Thanks. We did have a question in the chat. I will pull it up from Colt. Dave, how does UCLA win the bye week so we can all feel less depressed about the Indiana game next week?
The only way UCLA wins the bye week, okay. I think, is if Western Michigan wins the first half against Ohio State and like holds them to 7 points, and two, Utah State loses by like 10 or less to USC. That's how UCLA wins the bye week.
It depends on USC, like not
USC out. Struggling and Chip Kelly falling flat on his face as the offensive coordinator for Ohio State. Those are the ways that UCLA wins the bye week.
Oh, Mark says, I thought Mobius was a techno musician from the 90s. Yeah, I think that's true too, right? I think it was a Mobius.
I think all things are true.
Yeah.
In their own time and place.
I just went Morpheus, though. I like that. Okay. What's next? You want me to do Hugh? More quick questions. Hello, fellas. It's your boy, Hugh Janus, here. I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. Five quick questions. Go. One, if you had to live in one of the Big Ten cities other than Los Angeles, which would you choose and why?
Great question. I would live in Eugene or Seattle.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to live in the upper Midwest because it's colder than hell.
Yeah. I'm not a bad weather person.
So, that's really what it is. I've actually been through a lot of those areas and they're all lovely in the spring. Like, it's all great. Yes. Spring through fall, awesome. Love it. Nebraska, great. Love the whole thing. Just, I don't want to be there for about 5 months of the year.
Yeah.
So I'd probably go Eugene, Seattle, and then, Northern Jersey? Is that an insane thing to say?
I'd probably go. So I'm Eugene's pretty and stuff, but I like cities. So I would probably do Seattle one. And then Maryland, like my sister lives close by there. I could be close to her. Like I like that area. Certainly more than I would like New Jersey. Chicago's cool, but I just am such averse to. I grew up in bad weather. I don't want to be in bad weather.
And Chicago's it's another level. Like it's you get -30. Like it's insane.
Yeah, it's so windy there. That's why they call it the Windy City.
Yeah, that's why they call it the Windy City.
Did you know that?
Yeah. It's all the politicians blowing air, like actual real air, and it makes it colder.
You learned that on Madden. So yes, I unfortunately, I just don't want to live anywhere that has crappy weather more than like 3 months a year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they get some snow and stuff in Maryland. Like, even that would be. So I'd have to probably go Seattle.
Yeah.
But even that weather, I mean, I don't like the rain, so that kind of sucks too.
I love how you were averse to doing the ranking the states shittiest to best last week, but now you're basically doing that by saying you will only live in Seattle, Washington.
No, I mean, I'm just saying I don't want to live someplace that has crappy weather.
Right. You're saying all of those places are shittier than Washington and California.
Their weather is shittier.
Right.
And
what do you do when you live in a place? What's the thing you experience the most?
There are people that go snowshoeing. They love that. You know, like that's
right.
Fine. So,
an assessment of the shittiest thing. It's not an objective assessment, right? We all agree.
Yeah.
Like if I'm saying something is shitty, it is understood to be my subjective opinion. Right.
Yeah.
So your opinion is that every state in the Big Ten is shittier than California,
weather-wise,
Washington, and Oregon. Okay.
Yes.
Good. I'm glad we had this talk.
Two, mostly a Dave question. Thanks. Please rank the last five UCLA football coaches from shittiest to least shittiest. Foster, Kelly, Mora, Neuheisel, and Durrell. Interims Fish, Johnson, and Walker don't count.
I got a punt on grading Deshaun Foster right now. And I know, look, give me till the end of the year and then I'll throw him in here. But I'm going to give him a year. Okay. I'm not going to throw him into this pool. Kelly, Mora, Neuheisel, and Durrell. This is something I've thought about a lot. I'm going to start with who was obviously the best, and that's Jim Mora. Okay. We throw him out of the shitty ranking. He's not even shitty all time. Like he's probably upper half UCLA head coach.
Yeah. How many Rose Bowls did he win?
He won a lot of games in the Rose Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Does that count? Then after that, it's really a question of what you think the program was feeling after they were done. But my assessment is that it goes Jim Mora up here, then way down here is Carl Durrell.
Okay.
And then slightly below him is Rick Neuheisel. Because Rick Neuheisel, so Carl Durrell, a lot of people will argue, and correctly, that he squandered some of the best talent UCLA has had in the last 40 years. Like his defense his first year. Go back and just go look at UCLA's roster from 2003 and look at all of the defensive players who end up playing in the NFL and squandered that to like a 6-6 record. But he grew a little bit and got better as a coach as the years went on, had a 10-2 season, you know, the whole thing. So he's clearly a cut above. Rick Neuheisel never had a truly successful season, but recruited like a demon, which set up Jim Mora for a lot of success in his early couple of years.
Yes.
So you got to give him credit for that. Chip Kelly is obviously at the bottom because not only didn't win at an acceptable level, like Neuheisel, but also recruited at a level slightly worse than Carl Durrell, who was previously the worst recruiting head coach UCLA's had. So didn't set up Deshaun Foster for real success in his early years. So Chip Kelly, obviously the worst of those four. Now we'll see how Deshaun Foster does after a year.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I think, yeah, I Chip Kelly won for sure. He's the best by far, but we disagree. And plus, a nice guy, you know, like one of the just people that
like a turd, an absolute turd of a human being.
Had a beer with a couple of times.
He is a monumental turd.
Just a great guy.
Just a total turd.
Enjoyed having beer.
Arrogant, full of just. He's a piece of crap. Anyway,
will UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington still be in the Big Ten 10 years from now?
No.
I'm going to say, well, I think things are going to look different, but I think they'll still be grouped with those Yes. I'm going to say yes, but like it might be something that looks a little different, but they'll still be included with those schools. Like now that you're with like Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State and Wisconsin and Nebraska, like I don't think, yes, you want to get back to regional stuff, but I feel like you don't want to leave that either. So I think they'll just get bigger and they'll still be part of the same big organization, but they'll have like a, you know, regional stuff in within it. So that's what I would guess.
Yeah, the answer is no.
Okay. Four, since you have now seen all the Big Ten teams play, which two will be in the conference championship game?
I still feel like it's primarily a three-team race. I think it's Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon. USC obviously is a little bit of a wild card. I need to see more. I need to see that defense more. I need to see it against other teams. Because the thing is, we're basing it off of preseason stuff. LSU's been preseason highly ranked before, and then they've fallen flat on their face. So we need to see both those teams for a couple weeks. But I'll be more able to talk about USC being in that conversation probably by end of this month. But as of right now, I would probably say Penn State and Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm kind of there too, but there's still more to be determined. Oregon can still be in there. You know, if USC goes on the road and beats Michigan, that's gonna throw their hat in the ring. We'll see. Doug says, I made Rick Neuhausen my custom coach for Idaho in College Football 25. All my coaching experience points goes to recruiting wide receivers. So I guess he was pretty good at that. All right. Let's see. And the last one, five, who is your favorite World War II general?
Who's yours?
I don't know. I don't even have any off the top of my head.
You seem like a
You
seem like a Dwight D. Eisenhower guy.
Yeah. I kind of like. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like there's like favorites for me for that kind of stuff. It was just more of a group thing. Who was he D-Day? Who was like the D-Day guy?
Yeah, he helped a lot with the planning for D-Day. So, he was in charge.
I'd probably just go with him. But do you have like a favorite one or is like.
My like World War II history, like aficionado years was when I was like 14.
Yeah.
And so it was more like, this guy's really funny. So it was Patton. But you know, as I get older,
you're not a McCarthy guy. MacArthur. Sorry.
No, I'm not a McCarthy guy either. I don't consider myself a McCarthyist. But if you expand the scope beyond American generals, Zhukov for the Soviet Union, obviously, more or less won the war by himself.
Plus, he avoided being killed by Stalin. So,
yeah.
Which dude, that was very hard to do.
Very, very hard
to
do.
You had to be a good general and also not show that you're a good general so he doesn't kill you as a threat.
And multiple points where he was maybe going to be killed.
Yeah.
And he somehow avoided it. That's very impressive. He avoided the purges. Good on Zhukov. And then on the American side, Patton was super cool. Omar Bradley rocked. But George Marshall, kind of in charge of, keeping the trains running on time, was also, essential to the process.
I like the Pacific War a lot, but it was mostly Admiral stuff there, right?
Admiral stuff, and then a lot more just like came down to, it was just
attrition.
It was a lot of precursor
island to island,
a lot of precursor to like Vietnam level fighting.
Yeah,
like if you can, so they're the same production, same the whole thing, but like Band of Brothers and the Pacific are essentially two different genres of things.
Yeah,
like the miniseries, because Band of Brothers, it's almost like. It's written in such a way that it's like, this is a TV show we're watching. We're watching this narrative. We're watching these characters being built over time and this whole thing. And the Pacific is like it's like a Vietnam War film. It's just like on the ground, like, I have no idea what's going on over there. I have no idea what's going on over here. We're just, fighting the whole thing. Not officer level. It's all very, private corporal level. But I always thought it was much better. Like Band of Brothers is good and it's probably more rewatchable, but the Pacific is much, much, much better, like as a piece of art or whatever. Anyway.
All right. That was Hugh. Thank you. Thank you, Hugh.
Thank you, Hugh.
Okay, we got one more.
This is from John and Brea.
Yes.
On Wisconsin. Hello, Ryan and Dave. It only took 1 week for me to be all in on this whole Big Ten thing. And it's because the Podcast of Champions has once again managed to change my life. An 18-game recap filled with amazing homemade sound drops for each team, plus the nostalgia-laced Pac-12 power rankings. Can I truly have all things in life? Along with your incredible coverage of the Big Ten, please do whatever it takes to keep the world aware of my Wildcats and T-Mac, while at the same time keeping Amy from Utah a part of the POC. Dreams can come true. One question for you. With Jack Del Rio joining Alex Grinch at Wisconsin, will anyone be able to score more than 14 points on the Badgers this year? Thank you for all you do. Love, John and Bray.
Thanks, John. Yeah, we're both not that high on Wisconsin, unfortunately.
I was preseason. I picked them to beat both Oregon and Penn State.
How do you feel about those?
No, I don't think those are likely.
I think you're like a lot of your preseason picks, I thought, have been pretty good like over the years. This one's like, yeah, like the Big Ten threw you off a little.
I think the Big Ten messed me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to learn. We're going to learn your league. We're going to know all the things.
I mean, we are the foremost authority.
We are the foremost authority.
Yeah.
But we have room to improve.
Well, everyone does.
Yes.
Okay, so make sure you get in and do your picks if you're one of the 84 people that are remaining. And yeah, we'll see what happens there. This could be a really quick one. Maybe we're like done in like 3 weeks or something. It'll make things easier on Matthew, who we don't pay.
but we'll be paying him even less lately.
Yes, he will get 50% of his allotted pay this week.
Yes,
for being late with the picks. Anything else?
I think that's half a cigarette.
Half a cigarette. Anything else? Friday games, Saturday games all day.
Yep.
From 9 a.m. to midnight, there's football.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that.
No?
That's a lot of football. So here's the thing I didn't factor into all of my calculations about games, because it's more games just following the Big Ten. Even once they're in conference play, it's more games, right?
Yeah.
It might be as many as 9 a week, right?
Yes.
But here's the other thing. It's not the number of games that's the problem, because the Pac-12 had 6 games and often more, depending on whether they were out of conference or in conference at any given time. No, it's the time stretch. Like, we never had to watch 9 a.m. games ever. On our Saturdays.
There's 4 of them.
There's now going to be 4 of them. And at least one of them watchable, seemingly every week.
Yeah.
And we have to watch it to record this show.
Yes.
That we get paid how much money for again?
$0.
$0. What's wrong with us? Why are we here?
I don't know.
What are we doing?
We got to do 2 shows a week.
Each of which is going to be about 2 hours long.
Yeah. We had no super chats. What are you doing, people?
People are not super chatting.
Super chat it up. Yeah, no, that's a lot. The 9 a.m. games, there's a lot going on. But one of them's really good. So you got to watch. You definitely got to watch that one. Big Noon, Texas. We'll see what happens. All right. Well, we did our picks in there. You can follow along with that. Go check out my bookie like we talked about. And yeah, hope you guys have a really fun week 2 of the college football season. It goes by fast, so savor it, enjoy it. Chew your food, people. Don't just swallow it down. We gotta enjoy all of these games. For David Ed Woods, I am Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.